The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz.
The Superwoman Whole Health Fix.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome. This is Dr. Taz, and this is my podcast. I'm excited today to have joining me Carolyn Brown. Carolyn is an RD, a registered dietitian, who received her master's in clinical nutrition at New York University after receiving her BS in psychology from Tulane University. Carolyn joined Food Trainers, which we're going to talk more about, over 5 years ago, but wasn't always a nutrition nerd. She battled with the freshman 15 and a love-hate or hate-hate relationship with the elliptical machine. Going on semester at sea with travel in South America and Southeast Asia, it ignited an interest in travel and international ingredients and cuisine that eventually led Carolyn to nutrition. Now, in addition to her nutrition degrees, she's a certified yoga guide, she's run the marathon, and she is a spin and snowboard junkie. Carolyn is a huge advocate of you can live a healthy life without losing a social life. Carolyn, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
We are so pleased to have you here and talk a little bit about what you do and definitely about Food Trainers. I was fascinated by even your intro and just curious about your travel and how that shaped your nutrition background and what led you to Food Trainers.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very, you know, sort of closed-minded when it came to food, you know, trying new foods, and I really stuck to I stuck to what I knew growing up. And so by traveling, I really got to try new cuisines, got to try new flavors, and it opened up this whole interesting world of food to me in a whole new way.
Wonderful.
So,
and why did you have
really important.
I'm curious, why did you have a hate-hate relationship with food?
With the elliptical machine was more what it was. Yeah, I'm a huge believer in you should do exercise that you love, and that was always painful for me. So
gotcha.
No more elliptical for me.
Gotcha. So you learn more about international cuisine, and you then become a nutritionist. What led you to Food Trainers, and then even some of your other interests like yoga and spinning and snowboarding? I'm always curious to hear the story and what kind of got people on their way.
Yeah, I met the founder of Food Trainers, Lauren Slayton, right as I was finishing grad school. And it was just, she actually had a very similar background to me, went to Tulane also, went on semester at sea. A lot of the things you've talked about, she also happened to do. So it was really like meeting my, you know, nutrition soulmate. That was really, really helpful. And she's been a fantastic mentor.
Wonderful. What is Food Trainers? Tell us a little bit about it for anybody in the audience who might not know.
We are a private nutrition practice in Manhattan, and we work with clients one-on-one and create customized nutrition plans for people. And a lot of our clients are very, very busy, very successful, know what they're doing in all areas of life, but for whatever reason, food can feel messy still. So we help get them on track, sort of give them some structure, give them accountability. And so we have a ton of different programs, including long-distance programs that can help keep people on track on a daily basis.
I think that's the hardest thing for people. You know, when I talk to patients, no matter what their lifestyle is, whether they, you know, are staying at home or whether they're traveling or they're super busy, I think managing food and sort of mastering this food beast seems to be so overwhelming. How do you help, you know, your average patient? How do you help your average patient, you know, navigate that space? And what are some of the kind of key food rules that anyone anywhere can use when they're completely intimidated about thinking about food, preparing food, cooking food, finding food? What do you tell those people?
I know it can be so overwhelming, and it's also such a necessary part of our daily basis. So the first thing is that everyone is different. And you know, you're not the same, you're not going to have the same eating habits as your significant other or your kids or even like your sister. So people have different bodies, different metabolisms, different needs. So really what I love to do is talk to someone about their lifestyle and see what are sort of non-negotiables for them. Are there certain foods that they can't live without? Are there certain foods that they will never eat? You know, we get a lot of like anti-green juice in here, which is okay. You don't have to eat something just because it's healthy. I think it's way more important.
How can you not love a green juice?
That's my feelings too. But, you know, there are other gateway foods to get people in there. So I'm much more concerned with, are you eating enough vegetables every day? Looking at the bigger picture. So we do have everyone's food journal here. Really the best way that I can get a good feel for what a daily, you know, your daily life is like. But in terms of rules too, you know, it's everyone sort of helps set up their own rules. One of my favorite rules that you can start, you know, wherever you are, is really every 3 to 4 hours, you should be eating something. A lot of times the busier you are, you know, you bringing your kids from here to there or traveling all day, you know, we'll go like 6 or 8 hours without eating something. And that's really
you
doing
can
it.
Completely forget.
Exactly.
To eat.
And then you make up for patients. It and then some. Right. Yeah.
I always warn patients, you know, do not enter a home, a hotel room, do not enter any place hungry, because when you're that vulnerable, you're going to eat 3 to 4 times the amount that you would normally eat. And I know
exactly.
I personally even am guilty of doing that. So, but
yeah,
you know,
there's
you
no such thing as willpower. You lose all willpower.
No,
then.
You can't. There's no willpower and your blood sugar zero. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. But you know, so you have your patients keep, or you have your clients keep food journals, which I believe in too. And that's one thing that I think I put on almost every treatment plan is to eat every 3 to 4 hours. And that's one, if I cannot get any other message across today to our audience listening, if you can't remember anything else, I think that's the most critical piece of information. You have to eat every 3 to 4 hours because you never want your blood sugar, you know, kind of to be ahead of you where it takes over and your ability to take all that great food information that you may have, you're just not able to use it. So food journals are key. What else do you think is really important?
Actually, you nailed it too before, keeping a safety snack on you. So always we give our clients these little nut cases. They're basically Altoid tins, you know, that have the perfect serving size of nuts on the back of them. And you can fill them with nuts or seeds or trail mix to keep with you. And so that's just a really good way to keep, you know, keep you from getting to that too hungry state.
And you can take that on the plane. You can take that anywhere.
Yes.
It can be in your car. It can be in your plane. It can be in a train. It can be in your purse. And you know, I fly a lot
desk.
As well. And yeah, definitely. You know, and for any of us, and I'm curious as to what you tell your travelers, you know, I fly a lot as well. And I will actually make, you know, these nut butter bars before I leave, because I never know when a flight's delayed or when something's going to happen and I may not get food for another 4 hours, you know? So
right.
I think it's just sort of preparing that. So carrying snacks. So we've got eating every 3 to 4 hours, carrying snacks with you. Anything, maybe one more that everyone listening can sort of just really latch on to and take with them.
Yeah. So especially it's great for the holidays too. At least 2 servings of vegetables twice a day. Or at least two servings of vegetables per day. So that's 2 cups 2 times per day. So get some veggies in at lunch and at dinner. I think it's like one of the best ways to keep you on track.
I think
a lot of the ones
great.
I like to focus on, yeah, it's like eat more of these good foods, eat more frequently and eat great foods for you.
I think that's such great advice and fantastic advice that we can carry anywhere at any season. And the other thing I really thought was interesting about food trainers is you sort of meet, and correct me if I'm wrong, you meet the client where they are. So they could be sitting in another city or in another country, but you're still working with them. How does that process work?
Yeah, so we have a great program that's called Food Stocking, where we actually look at your food every single day, and you get, it's a daily accountability service. So every morning you receive a tip of the day from me. So it's whatever you need to work on. So if, you know, I notice your hydration seems low and you've been traveling a lot, then that would be your focus for the day. Or it could be you have a party coming up at night, so we're going to name your number of cocktails. So it's really, really specific by the person, but every night they send me back their food journal, and then the next morning I give them feedback with their new tip.
And
so that's a really great
information.
Way.
They
just email it. Exactly.
They email the information directly. Oh, wow. I need that service. It's like having someone on your back all the time. Drink more water.
Yeah, it's the best way I can spy on you. So I would love to.
Yeah, definitely. I know. Because again, I think the biggest challenge for everyone is we know the information, but life gets in the way. You know, and we're all guilty of forgetting to drink water or forgetting to pack our snacks or forgetting to do some of these things. And speaking of being busy, we are about to head into one of my favorite times of the year, the holidays. We have Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas right behind it, and then New Year's. And then we all sit around feeling guilty for the month of January. So we don't have that guilt. What do you advise your clients, you know, as we're about to hit holiday season, what can they do to sort of prep themselves? And then once they do kind of get to all the parties and the festivities, what are some of the things that they can do to make sure that they're not sending you emails where they've had like 20 drinks the night before or more sugar than they were supposed to have the entire month?
Yeah. Well, I can reset you if you do that, but preventatively, first of all, the holidays are only 3 or 4 days max. between Thanksgiving, you know, you have maybe a couple of Christmas parties. So it's not the whole month, but it does turn into it turns into sort of the 5 weeks from Thanksgiving to New Year's a lot of the times. And then you set your New Year's resolutions and have a rough January.
Right.
So I really believe in choosing your vice in a big way. So choose the one thing that you sort of can't live without. Is it the cocktails at the Christmas party? Is it cookies, you know, your favorite cookies in the world? Is it mashed potatoes? Is it, you know, choose what that thing is and stick with it. Unfortunately, you can't have it all.
So it sounds like you want us to choose between our sugar, our alcohol, or our comfort foods, and pick one of the categories.
Which all sort of turn into sugar. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so choose your category. Sort of pick your poison in that way. You know, and really sort of stick with that is usually what works best for clients here.
So picking your poison, and then any limitations, or how do we set budgets? I mean, do you have weekly rules, or,
absolutely.
You know, what's the best way to navigate
that? One treat meal per week really seems to work best, so that you're not having an all out splurge. And the most important thing is really is that your portion? Of course, like, you can have a cookie, two cookies, but is it 15 cookies? You know, let's also be realistic here. So splurge is definitely a splurge. It's a treat. So that's not meant to be daily. But the other thing is that the next meal is back on track. So you're not turning it into a full day. You're not turning it into a full week. And you're definitely not turning it into a full month of indulgence.
Okay, I love this, because I think you're already providing everybody with a lot of structure. So we already talked about, just to remind the audience, so they're hopefully taking notes and posting it in their car or somewhere in their bathroom or even their kitchen. But hopefully we started out with eat every 3 to 4 hours, carry high protein snacks with you in even little Altoid containers and keep them at your desk or wherever you are in your purse, so that you never are truly hungry. And then as we hit this holiday season, really think about picking your poison. I like that. Is it going to be the sweets? Is it going to be alcohol? Is it going to be the delicious comfort foods that all the relatives and everybody make around this time of year? But really pick and indulge maybe once a week. Would that be fair?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I think that sounds very fair. You really need to start to, you know, get a little bit choosy about what you want to indulge in, which I think, you know, makes people feel like they can still have a little something, but they have enough structure to survive.
Definitely. I mean, because food is joy too. And we don't want to, you know, I always struggle with that in the exam room, is like, I don't want to come down and say, well, you can never have this or you can never have that, because you don't want to take the joy out of food. So much about food
absolutely.
Is emotional as well, you know?
So, yeah.
Okay. So we follow those rules, but hey, we have a bad night. We've had like 3 parties in a row, maybe way too many drinks or way too many pumpkin pies. You mentioned to me that you were able to reset us. What does resetting look like if somebody, you know, has a week like that over the next few months and wants to do that on their own?
Right. So you can absolutely reset. And I think the first thing is like forgiving yourself and letting it go. You can get back on track. And so, you know, the beating ourselves up, oh, I shouldn't have had that. Have the treat and enjoy every second of it, every bite of it, every calorie of it, and then move on. So I think the main thing is sort of like that's the psychology part of it, is let it go. But then it's time to hydrate like crazy, water with lemon first thing in the morning. And then there are some great debloaters out there too that can really help us sort of get rid of that feeling of blech.
What's your favorite debloater? So,
I love asparagus is fantastic. It, you know, it helps you, it sort of makes you pee it out. And dandelion greens also, or dandelion tea.
Love dandelion greens.
Pretty easy to find. Yeah, I mean, they're a little bit bitter. They're not always like the most delicious for people, but they work too.
What do you do? How do you prep your dandelion greens? What do you do? We usually talk about blending them in a smoothie or a tea. What do you do with them?
Exactly. So I usually do have it in a tea. It's up to me. It's a little bit hard to find in the grocery store, those real greens. But you can also chop them up and throw them into a little stir fry. You can, I also love throwing them into a smoothie. So those would probably be the main ways.
For everyone listening out there, I want to remind them, because if they do go into the holidays and they've had a little bit too much, Carolyn's talked about maybe having asparagus. It helps you literally cleanse, I guess, to a certain extent by making you go to the bathroom all the time, drinking lemon water, which really helps to de-bloat, and then using dandelion greens, which again is one of my favorites too, to help de-bloat, especially maybe after a lot of alcohol. I think it's also known dandelion greens are also a liver purifier, and we talk about that a lot in practice. So those are some holiday rules. Anything else you would add in for the holidays as we come upon these months?
Yeah, I would absolutely also throw in a probiotic in there too. If you're not already on one, it can just sort of help keep your digestion on track. So I recommend that for pretty much all clients year round, but especially around the holidays.
And probiotics, for anyone listening, you know, there's so much information about the microbiome nowadays and how it really regulates the gut, but it's really sort of your metabolic rate determiner. It determines your mental health. It determines so many different aspects of your health. I love probiotics. Again, it's about buying a high-quality one and really checking out the label. But I agree so much with Carolyn, especially around the holidays, getting a good quality probiotic is a must, especially maybe through November and December. And Carolyn mentioned, and you have a background in psychology, and you talked about the psychology of eating, and I danced around it a little bit talking about joy and all the emotion that goes with eating. I think one of the things I've noticed with food, and I'm sure you notice all the time too, it's the highs and lows. There's the high of I did really well, I ate well, I ate perfectly, or the high of I really love this food and I'm enjoying it, to the low of, well, I miss my favorite foods, or the incredible low of feeling so guilty that you just sort of give up. And instead of a once a week treat because you feel so bad about yourself, you're going to eat the entire bag of chips or the entire box of cookies or whatever else that looks like. How do we regulate our emotions a little bit in general around the holidays when it's a very emotional time, and especially when it comes to food?
Yeah, I think first of all, talking about it is key. So, you know, whether it's therapy or whatever form, you know, our sessions are a lot of the time are like food therapy. We refer to them as, so it's a lot of the discussion about it and putting a little bit of planning in place. What's this situation going to be like? Doing a little bit of like a walkthrough, because family situations are stressful, and so it can leave you, you know, with a hand in the cookie jar when you're dealing with, you know, your aunt and uncle, you know, like fighting at the table or whatever.
Definitely, yes.
So I think it comes prepping down to really the planning piece.
Getting a little walkthrough,
worst case scenario.
Yeah, and if you do get in that situation, you prep for it and you mentally prep for it. I almost think of it sometimes like, you know, how we all try and we do meditation or things like that in the beginning of the day to start a good day, and the day starts and things start to unravel. But, you know, so you prep for it and you think through it. But if you find yourself in a situation where maybe your emotional response is getting out of control, you have any strategies for managing that? What should we do?
Yes. So first of all, I mean, this is a great thing to do in the holidays in general. Get out for a walk, whether it's with your family, solo, sort of get moving, get those endorphins running a little bit, sweat it out a little bit. That can really help remove yourself from the situation, and especially from being right in front of the food, because a lot of times around the holidays, it's like buffet style eating and it's sort of in your face at all times. So I think that actually physically removing yourself helps.
So remove yourself from the situation. I think that's such great advice. Well, thank you, Carolyn. This has all been wonderful. Yeah. Any other tips you want to throw at our audience?
I think actually really mostly just enjoy and have fun with your family and friends. I feel like that's really what it's all about. And a lot of times the focus gets so much on what we're eating that we miss the mark with that. So enjoy and you know, have some treats and feel good about it, feel okay about it. And then the next meal, back on track.
I love that. And Carolyn, you know, as we read through your bio, I always like to think of women like you as superwomen, and I leave every guest asking this question. What makes you a superwoman, and what three qualities do you think every superwoman needs to have?
Oh, wow. That's a great one. I think that I just am very motivated to get, you know, to go after what I want and to, you know, approach people and make things happen, which I think has turned into a strength of mine, I'm realizing at this point in my life. And in terms of the qualities, I think it's just like women helping other women. I am really into this idea of right now, being open-minded and trying new things.
I love that. That is fantastic advice. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for joining me today. How can my audience find you? What is the best way that they can connect with you?
Yeah, go to foodtrainers.com, and you can fill out our Become a Client form if you're interested in our services. Or on Instagram at Carolyn Brown Nutrition.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining me. And I hope everyone got great advice to make it through the holidays. Thank you.
Thanks so much.